Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Labor, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, where you meet the artist. My name is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen, with my co-host Mike Reynolds. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Terry. Doing great.
Good, and we are having a Talking Smooth Jazz first today because we do not have an artist and musical guest, but we do have the manager of Nick Colleone. Miss Carol Ray will be taking over the reins for the next 2 hours and interviewing myself and Mike Reynolds. Mike, are you ready for this?
I don't know, sir.
I thought you were going to call in sick or something. Okay, well, let me bring on Miss Carol Ray. Carol, come on in. Thank you for doing this for us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and thanks for agreeing to this. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Be afraid. Okay.
I just thought I'd put you at ease to start off with.
Well, like I said, if there's something I'm not going to answer, I'm just going to plead the fifth. And we just, you know, go from there. No, I'll answer.
We'll hope there are no lawyers listening in.
I promise to answer every question, although I cannot speak for Mike. I don't know what he's going to say. So, you know, you guys just be aware. Let me give out the phone number. It's 646-716-5485. To join us in the chat room, go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com, click on the TSJ radio show page, and then the play chat button under Carol Ray's show. And we definitely welcome your calls to call in and ask myself or Mike any questions that you have. But before we start with that, I would like to just have Carol give a little bit of background information about herself.
Well, as Terry, our queen, said, I'm Nick Colleone's manager. Terry and I have known each other long distance for several years. She has always been very gracious when Nick has come to Las Vegas, but we have not met or had not met up until this year when she and Mike came to the Brooks Jazz Festival. And we all got to hang out together, and what a fun duo these guys
are.
Yes. So we had a ball. They had a ball with everybody. These two are the most personable people you could ever imagine. Smiles and just and what a sense of humor the two of them have. And it just kind of came to my mind, you know, I bet people would like to know a little bit about them. They're always asking everybody questions and asking other people about what influenced them, what motivates them, what do they like, what don't they like, but nobody ever asked them anything. So I hit him up with an email after Burks was over and said, I've got this idea. What do you think? And God bless them. They were game. And so here we are.
And here we are. And Carol is in the chat room under the name Jazz Lover, just so you know. And all right, so we do have some music that we'll be playing in between time. This is a two-hour show. All of the music is Nick Colleone, of course, and I have some of my favorites to play. Okay, Carol, the show is yours.
Thank you so much. Well, first of all, welcome, everyone. And this is my first time hosting a radio show, so you're going to have to bear with me, but I talk a lot, so somebody might have to type in, shut up and let them talk. Well, I'm going to start with you, Queen, because obviously Talking Smooth Jazz was your baby. Where did the idea come from, and what ever gave you the guts to do this?
My interest in radio started in 2001. You know how you could listen to a CD and wonder why the artist picked that particular song or the title of the CD or why they work with a specific artist? Stuff like that I was curious about, and I would always say, I wish I could talk to the artist and find out why they did this or why they used this artist. Same thing with a TV show. I would watch a TV show or a movie, and certain actors would be interviewed more than, say, the co-host. And I would say, I wish I could interview that co-host because they you sometimes stand out more so than the actor does. So my interest in radio started in 2001, and I contacted the then jazz station here to see if I could get into an internship program where I could just shadow a DJ, sit with them, see how they run the board, how they run a show, and that kind of stuff. But they didn't have that kind of program. So then I found out about a broadcasting school that opened here in 2008, and I was the first one to enroll.
And what was the name of that school, Terry?
It was CSB School of Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. In case anyone else is interested.
Well, they've closed. They have since closed.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. But I was the first one to enroll, and I absolutely enjoyed it. I just loved learning everything about the radio side of it. And they also had the television classes as well, and they kind of sometimes they were intermingled, and I was not interested in TV at all because I don't like being in front of a camera. I don't like taking pictures. So the TV part I just didn't pay attention to, but the radio part of it I absolutely loved. And Talking Smooth Jazz was born at the school. And that's how it started. And it was initially just to talk about my love for the genre. I absolutely loved it. I loved everything about it. And it was initially started just to talk about, you know, the music, the artists, the concerts that I would attend, and that kind of stuff. Never, ever, ever did I think back then that I would be interviewing the artist. That hadn't even crossed my mind at that point, that I would be interviewing the artist. And that's how Talking Smooth Jazz got started.
So you started out basically by talking to the audience. It was a monologue. Did you have a script?
Yes, I did put together a script because I wanted to just try to keep, you know, on point. So I would put together talking points, what I wanted to talk about. I would do research on artists, on news, on music, and on concerts and festivals, and just talk about that.
And how long were your first shows?
They were always an hour. They've always been an hour. I started out on Sundays. Every Sunday for 1 hour, and then I'll talk about Mike later, but when Mike came on, we moved to Saturdays and Sundays.
And what gave you the idea, and what kind of technology did you need to change to make it interactive?
Well, we use blogtalkradio.com, and that helps in that, you know, I have a chat room. And I love interacting with the people in the chat room. And we also can take phone calls and interact with the listeners that way. In the early stages, we had more in the chat room than we did phone calls. But once we started interviewing artists, then we started getting phone calls. So I love interacting with the listeners. And that's one of the things I like about this site because it has the chat room. And I like to, you know, I love it when people come into the chat room and they're talking, they're interacting with each other. They'll ask questions about, you know, for me to pass on to the artist, or they'll call in. So I love that aspect of Blog Talk Radio.
So Blog Talk Radio is where you began the show.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's segue over to your co-host, Mike Reynolds, who is just the most charming guy, unbelievably great guy. Mike, you have many passions, I know, and we'll talk about some of them in a little bit, but how did you and Terry hook up?
Well, me and Terry, we hooked up. I was actually a guest on the Talking Smooth Jazz shows, and at one time I had my own show. It was called Talking Sports with Mike Reynolds. I would talk about the football season and the games week by week and things like that, and, I would search Smooth Jazz on Blog Talk Radio, and Terry's show would always come up. So I would come in, listen to her show and everything, and she would have one of the artists would be playing music. And how we hooked up was, I don't know who she was interviewing, But I think I called in, and what happened was I told her I knew somebody from Spur of the Moment in a jazz group here in D.C., and she asked me could I hook her up with an interview with them. So I called up a buddy of mine who was a member of the group and hooked up the interview, and they came on, they did the interview, and then Terry called me back. So we talked for about maybe an hour, 2 hours, and then she finally asked me to be the co-host of the show, you know, and everything. So I took like a day to think about it, and then I agreed to it, and I came on, and I was co-host ever since.
And when was that, Mike?
When was that?
Mm-hmm.
That was like last year. It's been like, it's mm-hmm. February the 8th would be a year. So that was mm-hmm. the year, February the 8th. That was my first show mm-hmm. in February.
Yeah. And I had a co-host before Mike, but he had to bow out because of commitments he had with his church. So for a while I was doing the show alone, and I had never wanted to do the show alone. I had always wanted a co-host. So when I met Mike, I asked him, and, you know, he agreed to come on, and it's been wonderful. He hit the ground running. You know, he's not one of those sideline co-hosts. He hit the ground running, talking to artists and getting artists booked on the show. And that's the reason why we added an extra date on Saturdays, because of Mike's, you know, work and talking with the artists and people wanting to come on the show. I didn't want to have to book them so far out. So we added Saturdays so that we could accommodate the artists and have them on.
Well, that's great, because that means, Mike, you were conducive into making sure that it was growth for the show.
Very yeah. much so, yes. Very much so.
That's really cool. Now, for people who don't know you personally, and as I said earlier, it's been my pleasure to finally meet both of you personally. Neither of these two folks have shy public personas.
Mm.
So they are really good at this, because they were doing on-the-spot interviews, on-the-spot videotaping. For those of you on Facebook, there are some very, very funny videos that were posted, some serious ones and some pretty funny ones. The one of Nick is just hysterical.
It's hilarious. Hilarious.
Terry videoed him from head to toe down to the colored shoes.
I could not resist that. That was too funny. I just could not resist that one. You know, Nick is a man. He is not called the best dressed smooth man in smooth jazz for nothing. Stacey
no,
Adams,
he's not.
Huh?
and he's got the closet to prove it.
Yeah. Oh, he is. And what I love about Nick is he is not afraid to wear color. I absolutely love that about him. And I just could not resist when he broke out in that black, red and black, which is one of my favorite color combinations. I had to do that. I couldn't resist that.
Well, it's one of the funniest videos. I was literally cracking up when you did it. And then when I saw it, I was laughing out loud.
Oh,
so,
buddy.
But speaking of laughing out loud, some of your interviews at Berks and some of the interviews that you do live on Talking Smooth Jazz have a real sense of humor to them. How do you manage? We'll start with you on this one, Queen. How do you manage over the phone, over the internet, to put your guests at ease the way you do?
Well, I don't know. We just try our best. Mike and I just try our best to make them feel comfortable. And a lot of times, you know, we can find information out about an artist that, you know, they've done an interview maybe 5 or 10 years ago that they forgot about, and we'll bring it up, and they will be surprised to hear that we know about it. And we just try to make them feel comfortable. That's, you know, that's what I've always wanted to do in this, is to make them feel as comfortable as possible, because number one, we want them to be, feel comfortable, and number two, we want them to come back, you know, when we invite them back, when they do another CD or whatever they're going to be doing in the future, we want them to come back, and we want them to tell their artist friends about us as well, and, you know, maybe they will come on to the show. So we just try to have a good time with them and try to keep it light and fun at the same time.
Well, I know one thing that we talked about for a minute or two when we were offline was you do a lot of prep work. So, Terry, I'm going to let you start with what exactly do you research? Do you...
Can I stop you right quick? And I'm
yeah,
gonna
sure.
And I'm going to answer the previous question about how we make the guys feel comfortable, guys and ladies feel comfortable. One thing that I always try to tell all the fans is that we want them to know that the artists have a personality too. You know, a lot of people just see them and just see them on stage, and after they perform and sign their autographs and things like that, they don't see that these guys have a good sense of humor, personality, things like that. So, you know, we just be ourselves, you know, and like for myself, I know like a lot of the guys, I'll just try to crack a joke or something like that and see how to respond. Mm-hmm. And like we had Gerald Beasley on, and we played something that he forgot about from the early 80s or something, Terry.
Mm-hmm,
and he just
mm-hmm,
bust
yeah.
out laughing. You know, he's like, where did you guys find that, you know? And we're like, yeah, we do our research. And a lot of people, they don't expect us to really find out a lot of things about them. And he was very funny. Walter Beasley, he was funny. Well, when he came on, it's just been a lot of guys that came on, and we can kind of tell by the vibe that they give off that they have a sense of humor, or they don't mind, you know, being joked around with and things like that. So
right,
we just,
right.
you know, try to wing it and basically, you know, let the fans know that these guys do have personalities and they're personable. You can approach them. You can crack a joke with them, things like that, you know. So that's how we try to approach it.
Well, there's some interesting questions coming up in the chat room about artist selection and how you get them on the show. But before we get to those, I just want to point out to everyone that while Terry is saying she just, you know, they just want to make people comfortable, and Mike is saying, you know, he feels them out for a sense of humor, interlaced in there for both of them is the word preparation and research. And to me, as an artist manager, my confidence level in having my artist, Nick, be on a show like yours is very high because it's easy to see for me on the other side of the fence how much work you do getting ready for each one of these shows. You don't just pull a name out of a hat, make a phone call, and say, okay, we'll throw it up against the wall. You guys work very hard behind the scenes to make this happen and to be knowledgeable about the artists and what they're doing. That comfort level, because you're so prepared, transfers to the artist, I think, and from my opinion, that is why you do such a good job of making these people feel comfortable and why they want to, you know, Mike, why they will joke with you and
mm-hmm.
Terry, why they will divulge, you know, semi-secrets because, you know, maybe not secrets, but things they don't talk about elsewhere because you are both so well prepared. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank
We're going to start with Carol Bowe's question, which is, how do you go about getting the artist or side people to do the interviews? And there's kind of a segue from Cheryl asking, how do you bring unknown artists, how do you find them, and how do you bring them on? And I think it's kind of one and the same question. How do you go about selecting your artists and or your industry people, and then how do you contact them and persuade them to be on the show?
Okay. In the beginning, I would get the I would contact artists off of MySpace because I wasn't on Facebook at the time. So I would email them on MySpace and let them know that I had a show and I was interested in interviewing them, especially if their new CD had come out or if a new CD was being released like within a few weeks. I would email them and let them know that I was a host of the show and would love to interview them. And for the most part, they all would say yes. And once I got them booked, then I would start doing my research on the internet, I would read the liner notes on their CD, whatever information I could get. Maybe, you know, sometimes the label will send me a press release sheet on them, and I get information that way. And however I can find information on the artist, that's how I would research them, and that's how I would put together the show with questions and music and their history, their history and their questions and stuff, and that's how I would research them.
And Mike?
And, well, how I thought about getting artists on the show was when I first came on the show, I saw that Terry was having on independent artists, and at that time I think she had already interviewed like George Duke, Layla, and Will, and Brian Culberson twice. So I said, well, this show, maybe we can, you know, kind of mix up and do it some more. And I seen it has a way to it was something different. I didn't think that there were anybody out there that was interviewing artists like this. So what I did was I knew a lot of the guys in my area, like David Dyson, Brian Lanier, Spur of the Moment. I knew a lot of those guys, so I would call them, and I got all of them on the show. And as a result, you know, then I made some emails and some phone calls to different artists and artist reps, and they got them on the show as well, you know, like the same way Trey said, just offered them to come on the show. And then the unknown artist, as far as Cheryl's question, the unknown artist, that was just luck. Because I guess by being on Facebook and by networking so good and so hard, a lot of the independent artists or unknown artists would contact me. You know, they would just send CDs to me and Terry, and we'll listen to them, and then we'll just bring them on the show. I mean, it was basically luck as far as unknown artists. Or I would go to a website called CD Baby, and I'll research that, and a lot of those unknowns artists are on that website as well, and we will get them on the show, and we'll bring them on and interview them.
Yes, one of the things that I think is really superior about Talking Smooth Jazz is the mix that you bring. You have not only well-established artists like, you have upcoming Gerald Albright and Mindy Hebert, you know, people who've been around for a while and are successful and are very well-known to the fans. And then on the other hand, you'll bring in an artist who's just had their first CD out, or a sideman who may be well-known to those of us in the business but well-known visually to people who go to a lot of shows, but they may not really know who the person is or very much about them. I think David Dyson is a perfect example. I mean, he's a monster player, practically a legend inside the business. But, you know, I think outside of the East Coast, there aren't that many people familiar with him as a solo artist and aware of what he can do. So I think it really opens up the door for a lot of artists. I'm fortunate that Nick is now considered to be a major artist, but in the beginning, he wasn't, and a platform like yours is wonderful for emerging talent because development of talent and growth of the music is critical, and you support that. So I think that's just great.
Thank you. Hold on one moment. I have a phone call.
Oh, great.
Area code 623, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, it's Lori.
Hey, Lori.
Hey, Lori.
Hi. I just wanted to ask a couple questions, one to Terry, and the question was, when did you feel this kindred, this passion for smooth jazz? Was there a certain time that you said, wow, this is it?
Yes. When I moved, I live in Las Vegas, and I grew up here. I lived in California for 13 years, and then I moved to Atlanta in 96. In California, I kind of listened to it a little bit, but I wasn't really into it. It wasn't until I moved to Atlanta that I got into smooth jazz. That's where I first heard about Brian Culberson, Boney James, and Waymon Tisdale and Steve Cole. And that's when I really got into smooth jazz in Atlanta. And I lived there for 5 years, and the first time I saw Steve Cole in concert was in Atlanta. The first time I saw Waymon was in Atlanta. And Bonnie and Brian didn't come to Atlanta while I was there, but that's when I really, really got into smooth jazz. And from then, it's just been a passion of mine.
Great. Fantastic.
And I can answer that too far on my side as well. I was introduced to jazz by a former coworker of mine. I used to listen to rap real heavy, a lot of gangster rap, Tupac, things like that. And I used to come to work, I was the guy with the windows rolled down, the car was beating, bopping with the, vibrations from the beat and everything. So this guy introduced me to a CD by Rick Brown. He said, man, I want you to listen to this and go home and take it home, stop listening to all that Tupac stuff. So I said, okay, all right, cool. So I listened to the Rick Brown CD, and it was okay, it was nice, so I'll bring it back. So I said, man, that's fine, but it can't be Tupac, So he's like, look, man, you need to get out of that rap stuff, man. You're getting a little bit older. You need to get into something more mature. So he offered me to a concert. It was he knew I liked Ann Nesby from Sounds of Blackness. So he offered to pay for a concert with Ann Nesby and Boney James. So I said, okay, cool, I'll go, and I see this guy, Boney, I go for free. So when we got there, Ann Nesby came on first, and then Boney started playing. I'm like, man, where's Boney at? So, this has been a concert that's going on for 10 minutes. She said, he's the guy right there. I said, what guy? He said, the guy with the saxophone. I said, man, the little white guy with the hat. He said, yeah, that's Boney. I said, man. So that's what happened. And ever since that, but the show was very nice. And ever since that, I've been a jazz fan, and I've been a Boney fan because he turned it out. And I've been a jazz ever since that.
Well, fantastic. Thank you. I feel the same way about Boney, and I told you my huge groove story. I was like, he's not a brother? What?
Yeah.
So,
And there's a reverse story like that on Nick when he first started out.
Yeah, because it's like Coleone.
I know. When he first started out, his very first radio hit back, 10 years ago now, our label was so small, they didn't answer the phone all the time. So somebody called the radio station, and the sales manager sent her to me. And she said, "Oh, where is Nick going to be playing next? I really want to see him. I love his song. I want to see him perform." And it happened that we were still pretty local at the time, so he was performing fairly frequently in the Chicago area, which is where we're located. So I gave her his next show, and said, "You know, look for me. I'll be the tall blonde hanging around the side, and come and introduce yourself." And she said, "Oh, I can't wait to meet you both. I'm Italian too, you know." And I thought, aren't you in for a surprise?
Well,
so
thank
God,
you.
You know, God bless her. She had a sense of humor about it. She came up and said, "Oh, South Italy, huh?" Thank you, Lori. Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Lori.
All right, Lori.
Okay.
And Lori.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting for one of those 1 o'clock phone calls again, okay? Call me later. That's right. Because she called me the other night at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what?
It was a mistake.
I thought you were
a different mic. That's all I can say. Okay. Bye.
Goodbye,
Lori. Okay. We have another call. Area code 757. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hi, Carol. This is Cheryl B.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Hey, Cheryl.
Terry. Hey, Mike.
We're good. What's your question?
Well, actually, I want to comment on first the personalities of both Mike and Terry. Terry is an absolute angel. I absolutely love her. She is now my official big sis. As for Mike, I love him too.
Well, thank you, Cheryl.
I don't know about that, Carol.
Can you blush on the chat room?
Yeah.
No. You need to find a little blushing icon.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the first time I actually met Mike was last year at the Capitol Jazz Fest. We had been friends on Facebook for a while. He was actually the first person that I added to my Facebook account that I had never met and didn't know. And I saw him walking through the crowd, and I instantly knew him from his picture. And I called out, I said, "Mike." And he turned around and he called out my whole name like I owed him money. So just let you know, that's how Mike is. Great guy, though. Absolutely love him.
Yeah, if Mike would come out of his shell, he'd really be something, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I have to tell you how I met Cheryl. Mike, he texted me or something one day and said that somebody had threatened him because he had not had Najee on the show. And I said, "Well, now, who is threatening you? Because, you know, people cannot be threatening to help. I need Mike, you know." So she was, like, all over Mike because we had not had Najee on the show. She's a huge fan of Najee's, and we hadn't had him on the show. I said, "Okay, well, let's put in a request to get Najee on the show." And in doing so, I invited Cheryl to be a guest co-host since she's such a huge fan. So Najee agreed to come on, and Cheryl was the guest co-host, and it was a great show. It was a really good show. And ever since then, she's just been, like, hanging out with us.
Yes, definitely. And also, too, and also, that's something else that we've added to the show as well, Carol. We've added, like, coming up on Tuesday with Gerald Albright. We're having one of Gerald's biggest fans be a co-host as well. So we're looking for fans, too, that are fans of some of these major artists, that are big fans of the major artists, to come on and be a co-host with us so that they can have an opportunity to talk to their favorite artists as well.
And that's totally unique. Totally unique. And what a brilliant idea that is, because, again, I'm leaning on my side, which is the artist management side, there is nobody more important to these artists than the fans. Absolutely nobody.
Yeah.
And Nick's fan club, we hate even calling it that. We call it fans, friends, and family, because that's who they are. You know, they're people who start out as fans of his music, and as they get to know him, they become friends, and the longer they're friends, the more they become family. And I just think that having those people on your show with the artist, you can tell somebody like Gerald, who is the warmest, most wonderful person. He loves his fans too, and Mindy the same way. Mindy loves her fans, and most of the artists do, frankly. And there's a couple who put on a good show, but most of them are very sincere about you know, the fans and how important they are. To include them in your show is not only brilliant, it makes all the sense in the world, and I wonder why other people don't do it now. Now that I hear you're going to do it, it's one of those, well, gee, everyone should do that. But, of course, they won't, and that'll keep you unique.
Oh, yes.
Carol, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun co-hosting with both Mike and Terry, even though from time to time I had to send Mike a message and tell him to please shut up so I can ask my question, because he was so gung-ho and he would not shut up. But that's a good thing.
Mike, do you have any defense that you'd like to offer?
No, she actually wants to do these little notes on the side saying, Mike, will you please let me get a word in? I think I was just excited as she was, you know.
And just to clear the record, it wasn't an exact threat, okay?
It was
just
a threat.
Oh, no, it was a threat.
You were threatening my health.
That's right.
It was a suggestion.
Did it imply
bodily matter? Had
Cheryl
told
me that. Did it imply bodily injury of any kind?
No.
Yes, it did.
Absolutely
yes, it did.
Not.
Oh, man, too funny.
But I actually have a question. I actually have a question for them, Carol. Since they do interview a lot of indie artists, have they gotten any feedback from any of them stating that their exposure has enlarged because of their interviews or, you know, the contact with Talking Smooth Jazz?
Excellent question, Cheryl.
I think Ava Lemert, she's an artist that has came on. She's been on twice, and she has seen an increase in her sales on CD Baby and on other websites as well ever since she's came on the show. So I know Ava Lemert was for certain.
Okay.
How about you, Terry?
I have not heard from any of the artists that we've talked to about that, so I don't know. Nobody has, you know, nobody's emailed or called me and said anything like that, so no.
Okay. I was just curious. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Now, do you want to stay on the switchboard? You want me to
sure,
put you
I
on
can.
Mute?
Hang up on her.
Yes.
Hang up on her. Hang up on that woman,
please.
Okay?
I want you to know Mike sent me a message and begged me to call in. Now
wow.
He wants me off the call. Just want y'all to know that, okay, listeners? That's how he does.
There are no secrets on the Internet.
All
so
right,
I see
all right.
You've already got a volunteer for the Boney Show.
Yes,
big surprise. Big surprise. Carol volunteered.
Yeah.
What a shock that was. Big shock there, Carol.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I don't, there's anybody more passionate than Boney. I see her on Facebook all the time. She's one of my Facebook friends, and I know she's passionate about Boney. So that will make a great co-host opportunity. That will be terrific.
Oh, definitely, we'll have her on. That's definitely a given.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to another question for you two. You each have independent ventures involved in the entertainment world outside of Talking Smooth Jazz. Now, Terry, I know your company supports Talking Smooth Jazz, and you have ambitions for it for the future. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I would love to devote my full time, number one, to Talking Smooth Jazz. I work full time as a legal secretary, and I would love to just devote my full time to Talking Smooth Jazz, move it from Saturdays and Sundays to Mondays and Thursdays, Monday through Thursday, so that, you know, I'm free to attend concerts and festivals, to travel to do that. Mike and I always talk about how we would love to be able to host events for the artists, do meet and greets or CD release parties and even concerts eventually. It's something that we would love to be able to do. And there's just, you know, I almost need an assistant to help keep the websites updated and just help with, you know, producing the show and stuff like that. Because I do, in addition to Talking Smooth Jazz on Saturdays and Sundays, I also do two other shows. One is two music shows, but one is voice tracked and one is live on Blog Talk Radio. And the other one that's voice tracked is for a Houston-based website, and that's a two-hour music show that I do that airs every Friday. So I am basically producing four shows a week.
And you have to do the programming?
You do
the programming for both of those internet shows, right?
Yes, I do.
And there's a lot involved with that, doing the music selection, putting songs together that make sense, that segue well. Not an instant job.
Exactly.
Mike,
yes.
What about you? I know that you have not only a great interest in the entertainment world from the music point of view, but also from the sports perspective. Let us know a little bit about that.
Right now, I am the CEO of Mastermind Sports Entertainment, and we'll be setting out to accomplish. We have a boxer by the name of Maurice Byram. He's a nice young kid. He's 26 years old. He's from Philadelphia. We're co-managing him, me and my dad. And so right now he's 6-0 with four knockouts. So we've been concentrating on that as far as the sports side and everything. And that's another reason why I started to talk in sports as well, to really get into that and, you know, really get we're using social media and the internet to really create a fan base for him, you know, because it's so hard if you don't have the amateur background and the, you know, potentials of a Olympic boxer, things like that, to really create a fan base for yourself coming out of the gate. So we're using social media to create a fan base for Maurice and everything like that. So everything is working out pretty good as far as that. And also, you know, being that we've done the show, I've been doing the show for like a year and a half now, I've also seen the need for a lot of independent artists and unknown artists to need management help and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I've teamed up with a buddy of mine named Derek Kenny. Derek has a background in communications and PR, and we're trying to hook up and create a management PR type of a company for independent artists to come aboard and try to help them out the best way that we can, using the contacts that we're making through Facebook and through social media to kind of get them some more exposure and, you know, to try to get them some help. Because, I mean, Terry can tell you, we get calls like every day, every hour, every day of the week from independent artists or artists we've never heard of that are looking for help and looking for ways to get on a gig, or guys hit us up on email and asking, you know, do you guys have a connection to a festival promoter that, you know, may need to, you know, some opening acts and things like that. So we want to focus on that too and try to balance out the playing field in the contemporary jazz genre.
We have a question from the chat room, and it's from U Radio. Do you think that social networking sites like Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter have helped bring in a new audience to the program?
Yes, most definitely.
And can I just piggyback on something that Mike was saying? When we have an artist on the show, especially an indie artist, when they're off the show, we don't just forget about them. Mike and I are always talking about how we can help these artists, because especially the indie artists who are not signed to a label, they have no way of having their music distributed. They're underexposed. They can't get book gigs because promoters won't book them because they feel they have no following. Well, they can't get a following if they can't get a gig, if they can't perform at a concert or something. So Mike and I are always, you know, talking about what we can do to help the artists get exposure and help them build a fan base. But, you know, all of that takes money. It takes money to do all of that.
It takes time.
But we are not, you know, we just don't have the artists on the show. And then when we say goodbye, we forget about them. We do not forget about them. We're always trying to think of some kind of way or how we can help these artists, especially the indie artists, get the exposure that they need and deserve to get their music heard and help them build a fan base. So this is why we want to do CD release parties and meet and greets for these artists, and then eventually do some concerts for them. But again, that takes money to do, and like you said, Carol, time. So eventually, we believe it's going to happen. It's coming. It's on its way. It's just a matter of when.
Well, you know, being a manager who started ground up, I had no management experience at all when I started managing Nick Lowe those many years ago. I learned everything as I went along. One thing that is abundantly clear to me now, because like you, I'm approached constantly by artists, established and new, you know, wanting advice, wanting wanting to hire me. You know, one of the things that is really astounding to me when I look back on it is the amount of perseverance, the amount of time, the amount of dedication it takes to launch a new artist. And it's many, many more hours than the compensation could ever be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It takes more time, and it's harder to get attention focused on a new artist than an established artist. We'll use Boney as an example. You don't even have to say his last name, and everybody knows who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you have a brand new artist, you have to explain who they are, what do they do, why should someone book them in their club or at their regional festival or for their special events, let alone getting to the point, to the level where they're now being considered for festivals and
mm-hmm.
you know, major concerts and all of that. There is a lot of work involved. So how do you plan on doing this?
You know, for me, starting off small in doing a CD release party or a meet and greet, I mean, I have no idea what it takes to put a concert together. I have not a clue. And so I definitely...
Money. That's it. It takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Sponsors. It takes sponsors and money.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you have that, you can get any artist you want. There's
right.
my input.
Okay. That's why I say start small, because I think, you know, it'd be real easy to put together a CD release party or a meet and greet for an artist. I mean, I think that's simple and easy to do, even though it still requires money, but it's not as big an adventure as doing a concert. So for me, it would be to start off small in doing that and introducing the artist to different people in different areas.
That's where tools like Meetup and Eventful
mm-hmm.
are very helpful.
Yes.
Definitely. And then what I would do, like I said, you know, I'm talking to a couple of artists right now and try to sign them to, you know, become their manager and everything. But I look at an artist like Drew Davidson. Him and his manager, they work hard. I mean, they go out, they network. When you see Drew, he always has a CD with him. You know, he passes it out to different industry people. They mail them out to different they submit them to different, you know, radio shows and things like that. And Drew Davidson is an artist who a lot of these independent artists should look at and say, wow, you know, because Drew, you know, he was an independent artist. His first CD got a little airplay, but then Drew played at an Art Good Catalina Jazz Fest. And from there, he's taken off tremendously. And, like, every time you see him at an event, they're networking, passing out cards, passing out CDs. And a lot of artists don't have that drive to go out and promote themselves or market themselves. And that's one thing that I would tell any artist that I would work with, that, you know, it's going to have to be a collaborative thing where we both go out and do the same thing and market your product if it's a good product, you know.
Well, definitely I agree with you, and I think Drew is a fine example. We've known Drew for probably 6 or 7 years now. We first met him at Berks, and then he came to see Nick in York, Pennsylvania. We knew him before his first CD even came out.
Yeah.
Nick has kind of mentored him, and I've mentored his manager, Anita.
Yeah.
And one thing that Anita has definitely done is she is not afraid to ask the question.
Yes.
Yeah, we said Joy's comment was Drew hustles in a good way, and that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly
mm-hmm.
what they do. They work it 24/7. They were at Seabreeze. Drew was performing at Seabreeze, but they were there the whole weekend. They're members of Nick's fan club, the Colion Connection, because they're longtime friends and fans of Nick's. In addition to being his own artist, you know, Drew appreciates Nick a lot, and so does Anita. So, but they came. They even came to the fan club meeting with Drew's next, postcards on. Drew's next performance, which happened to be in Alabama, so if there was anybody in the area, you know, any local people there, they could come.
Yes.
They left those cards everywhere. They really do hustle. I see a question here that says, how about mentoring the established people, mentoring those coming up, the ones at the top that reach down to help those below? And yes, in fact, one of my one of my first comments to Drew when Drew wanted me to manage him, and I just didn't have the bandwidth. So I told him, find somebody who really cares about you and your music, who you can trust, who will work for you, and doesn't care if they don't make any money in the beginning, because they won't.
Mm-hmm.
And let them, you know, and let them get started. And he found Anita. And Anita started calling and asking questions, like everyone would. And I answered, you know, I would answer what I could, and we'd spent several hours on the phone, and finally she called me and asked me for a phone number. And I said to her, okay, Anita, here's how this is going to go down. If I had to look up, if I had to find this out, this is what I would do. And in fact, I researched it before I did, and it was 10 pages down on an internet Google search before I found what she was looking for. I happened to have it, but I thought, it's time to start teaching, not just, you know, not just telling. And
mm-hmm.
I said to her, you know, it's sort of like the, if every time you need something, and I'm going to give you guys this advice because this is the business you're heading into, if every time you ask me a question, I give you the answer, I give you the phone number, I give you the contact name, I give you this, I give you that, it's like you being hungry and coming to me and say, I'm hungry, and I give you a fish. And that works for a day, and then you come back and say, I'm hungry again. I need another fish. And so you're always fishing for two. Now you're fishing for yourself, and you're fishing for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so Anita, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you. I'm giving you the pole, the line, and the hook. And I'm going to teach you how to get your own fish so that you know how to find these things out. You know how to dig down, what kinds of things to put in on searches. And to Anita's great credit, she now calls herself she says she's my fishing disciple. But, you know, that's really what it takes to mentor. It's not just about doing things for other people or opening doors. It's for the right people who will work for themselves. Mentoring is very rewarding. For people who expect everything to be done for them and get annoyed because you won't tell them everything, it's not worth spending the time, because if they're not going to spend the time on themselves, why should you?
Yeah. I want to respond to something that Mike said about sports, and then we're going to get into a song. Mike is an avid football fan. Avid. So during football season, last season, you know, he would literally call in 30 seconds before we went live because he's watching a football game. And one time he called in from, where were you, at a bar or something, a sports bar or something?
I was at a sports bar, yeah.
So to say that I am not looking forward to this year's football season is an understatement.
Well, and Mike, now that you've been outed.
Oh, wow.
There's a good question. I know, Queen, you want to get into some music, but there was a question that I want to make sure it doesn't get missed. And that was from Andrew. Do you want to respond to that one? Any advice or suggestions for those who are considering developing music shows for internet radio?
Yes, Andrew is thinking about starting a show, and we've talked a little bit about it. I say, number one, have fun with it, and don't be so serious about it. And number two, just, you know, be organized with your notes and your whatever it is you're going to do. Just be organized with it. But just have fun with it is my main advice. Just have fun with it. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take, you know, the show so seriously. I know that he wants to do a music show, and it's going to be called, I think it's Merlot. Andrew, put it in the chat room, please. I think it's Merlot Music or something like that. Really nice name. I really like the name. But he's nervous about coming on the air. And you're going to always be nervous. I'm always nervous before the show starts because I asked the artist to call in 5 minutes before. And if it gets down to three to two minutes, I'm like, well, where are they? I'm just like biting my nails waiting for them to call in. So you're going to always be nervous, especially if you're going to be doing a lot of talking. You're going to always be nervous. But I just say my main advice is just to have fun with it.
Yeah, really. Go for it.
Yeah,
Because, I mean, I'm like Terry, you know, some artists that we get on the show, I mean, I'd be kind of nervous too, but once the show starts, I kind of, you know, I'd be okay after a while and everything, because I'm like, you know, I'm so used to, you know, doing my blogs and joking around, all kinds of stuff. So I'm so comfortable just talking and everything. And a lot of the artists, they're nervous too. Actually, you know, they don't know what we're going to say or what we're going to ask them and things like that. So, you know, it is a two-way thing too. So, like I would say, just go for it and just let's have fun with it.
And if you're going to have guests on the show, do research on them just so you have some background information on them. Make sure that you're current on whatever's going on with them. You know, if they have a new CD coming out, if they're going to be in a movie or whatever it is. You know, there's a lot of information on the internet, on their websites, that you can find out about the artist or your guest. So just be sure that you're up to date with what's happening with them, that you're current, and just have fun with it. Just go for it and have fun with it.
And then I want to hop on that, what you just said, Trey, because I'm going to let everybody know that when we interview a lot of independent artists or new and upcoming artists, we will Google them or search them, and sometimes they have no information on them, on their CD, on their past endeavors, history. And like I said, Trey will call me and say, Mike, you know, there's not that much information on these guys. So we would just wing it, and we'll just go for it. And a lot of times you guys will never know that we're just in there just, you know, swinging questions and things like that. Even though we've done our research, you know, a lot of times the show is an hour. And Trey may, we may have talked with maybe like three questions for the guys because they don't have that much of a background to go on. You know, the group, you know, you look the group up or look on their website, they don't have nothing but a paragraph. You know, this is their first album. This is the first time they've ever done anything and everything. So we're like, well, you know, we interviewed one lady that didn't even have a CD, Shanice James. She's from Virginia. We interviewed her, and she didn't have any information on her. But you know, we find a way to pull it through.
Questions will generate other questions, so that helps too. But Mike's right. Sometimes we don't have we might barely have two or three questions to ask an artist if there's nothing out there on them. So we really have to be creative and go through. Get the show done in an hour. Luckily, we can play the music, and that also would generate questions. But yeah, there have been times when we're like, okay, what are we going to ask them now?
Yeah, really, that is so true. And then there's enough times where we'll ask the question, and they'll be so shocked that we found the information not about them. They'll just ask us right on air, well, where'd you guys find that at? You know, how did you guys know that? So we do our research, and we do, you know, with Google, we do everything, you know, so we will find out something on you, you know, if it's out there.
And there's a lot out there.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Terry, are you ready to move into some music? And then we're going
I am.
After that, we have a great question from the chat room about musical mentoring, which we will get to after the next tune, which, Terry, you can introduce.
I am going to play one of my favorites by Nick Colleone. It is from his Keeping It Cool CD. This is Always Thinking of You.
Thank you.
that is my favorite, one of my favorites by Nick. That was Always Thinking of You from his Keeping It Cool CD.
Yeah.
All right, Miss Carol, back to you.
Okay, well, I think
can I stop for 1 minute, Carol? So for 1 minute, I want to say U Radio is my buddy Alex Mayer. Alex has helped me and Terry when we first needed a little help with getting our music on different ways, and Alex actually had the show on his website also. It was uradio.com, and he had a radio station, and he had the show on there. So we want to give Alex a shout-out, too, because he helped us out in the beginning as well.
Cool, Alex. Thank you. Because I bet they're not the only ones you've helped out. And here's the question. Is there a musical mentoring group in the same way there are professional business or women's mentoring groups? Now, I do have an answer for that.
Okay.
I don't know whether you guys do, so let's start with you.
I do not know of one offhand.
And Mike?
I don't.
Any music mentoring groups? No,
mm-hmm.
That are really organized. No, I would say, if anything, you should, if you're from a regional state or something like that, and you know you want somebody to come help you out, go to some clubs and go to the artists and ask them if they would be willing to mentor you. If you are a young cat, like you know, you're looking to create a way for yourself in the business, you know, ask the artists would they be willing to mentor you and things like that. And, you know, as far as the organization, I don't know any.
Okay, and here's my answer. I know of a few. They are regional. They're regional or sometimes they're citywide. One example is a group called WAMI, which is the Wisconsin Area Music Industry group. It's comprised of everyone from artists to PR people to studio owners to management to booking agents and anyone who has anything to do with the music business in Wisconsin. They started out small. It's now a very, very large group. They have an annual award show that they do for the best of Wisconsin, and it's like a mini Grammy organization type of thing. They do it in a theater. For many years, they did it at the Northern Lights Theater at the Pottawatomie Bingo Casino up there, which is a gorgeous casino right smack in the middle of Milwaukee. I'm sure our forefathers had no idea when they ceded the Indians that land that it would become that valuable, or they wouldn't have ever given it to them. And God bless them, the Indian tribe that owns the Pottawatomie Indians, they have developed it into the most gorgeous property. And they would always make the theater available to WAMI for free, which was an amazingly generous thing to do. I should not have put that little social commentary in there, but I get very aggravated over
okay.
stuff like that. And that's me, kids, so, you know, deal with it.
Anyway,
yeah, that's right. I don't ever have to come back and do this again. You got to deal with my fallout, not me, right? look for area-wide things like that. Now, in Chicago, there's the Chicago Musicians Consortium. And it's a group of musicians who have banded together to try and improve their situation, to try and get better venues, better clubs, do a lot of networking, help each other out. There is no national organization unless you can be a member of NARIS, which is hard to do if you don't have the credentials.
Mm.
And even then, that's such a big organization that going to their meetings, there's anything that you can network at, any place where you can meet like-minded people. Maybe you'll have to start it yourself. Maybe you start it yourself and you don't realize you have a lot to give, but you do. I have to say that WAMI was extremely – I live an hour and a half from Milwaukee. And I drove up once a month for the WAMI meetings because I found them so helpful. And the networking done up there was extremely helpful to me in terms of learning aspects of the business that I didn't know, becoming familiar with other things, meeting other artists. I didn't meet very many other managers, but I met a lot of other people in the business, and I made a lot of contacts and learned a lot. So you might have to travel, is my point. It might not be next door. You might have to drive 2 hours or an hour and a half to go find a group of people that that do this. But it's mentoring is sharing information. And if you can find something like that, you might have to, again, research. You may have to dig to find musicians groups, entertainers groups, and then to attend a meeting or two and see if they're worth it. Maybe they're nothing but a bunch of people getting together having a beer, which isn't going to do you any good, or maybe there is actual information being passed. Maybe. So, you know, you kind of have to find it yourself. There's no national, you know, big brother, big sister in the music business thing going on. But there is a lot of stuff, and I think the larger your city does not necessarily mean the better your chances, because it was a long time before the Musicians Consortium started in Chicago. Whereas, you know, Wisconsin is considered to be a small market, and they have a very large organization. So, unfortunately, no easy answer, but research, and you're likely to find something in your area. Places to look for are major music schools. They may bring people in. It may, if they have lectures that are open to the public that they bring for their students, see if you can get into those if they bring in music industry professionals. So if there's a university that has a music program, you could kind of research it. There's a lot of ways to get at it. You just kind of have to dig around.
So let me just do a quick little station ID. You're listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen, Mike Reynolds, and Miss Carol Ray. I want to welcome to the chat room Andrew Harris, Boney Fan Carol, C.D. McGee, Cheryl B., Cool Jazz Combos, Guest 1948, Help the Children, Jam Tim, who is from New Zealand, Jazz Lover is Carol herself, and U Radio, a.k.a. Alex. Thank you all for joining us in the chat room. If you have any questions for myself or Mike, please call 646-716-5485, or you can post your question in the chat room. I wanted to mention Nick Colleone, because Nick was the first smooth jazz artist, I guess you could say, that I interviewed. This was before Mike came on, and we interviewed Nick. Was last year, 08. It was in 08 that we interviewed him. My God, was that a funny, fun show. Nick was hilarious, and he was gracious because he had just landed from doing a show the night before. Remember that, Carol?
I sure do.
He had just landed like an hour or maybe 2 hours before he was scheduled to do the interview with me.
Yeah, I think you got him a little slap. He was a little slap happy when, you know.
Yes.
He was just weaving and bobbing.
And I could tell he was tired. I know he was tired, but he was so gracious, and he did the interview anyway. And going back to how we make the artists feel comfortable, I knew, you know, I kind of teased him about the dress. I know that Stacey Adams sponsors him, so I asked him about that. I knew about the shoes. I asked him how many pairs of shoes he has. At that time, it was like 96 pairs of shoes or something
That was clearly a long time ago.
Yes, and then Carol was like, well, then Nick said, well, Carol has like 60 pairs of shoes at her house. And I'm like, Nick, where do you keep 96 pairs of shoes?
He has a closet that's the size of basically a small office.
Oh, it was
It's built into his studio, and he has a closet I would kill for.
It was a great interview, and I really enjoyed working with him. We teased him about there was an outfit that he wore on a cruise that
the pink suit.
The pink. It was like a what do you call those suits that have the long coats?
It was a frock coat.
And we teased him about that.
Yeah,
so,
he has a pink frock coat, pink pants, pink shirt, pink tie.
Yeah,
pink shoes,
I mean,
pink,
you know,
everything.
From head to toe, everything is matching. Nick is not afraid to wear color, and I absolutely love that about him. So that was a good interview, and I hope that was by, you know, asking him about Stacey Adams and teasing him about his shoes and his clothes. That was my way of making him feel comfortable.
Well, he certainly did, and I'm glad that he was, you know, I'm glad he was the first artist. That's quite an honor to be the first one that you interviewed.
Yeah.
And I hope he put you at ease and let you know that it was, you know, you were on the right track.
Yes, he did. I felt very comfortable with him, very comfortable with him, and looking forward to talking to him again, definitely.
Andrew's comment, zoot suit. That's pretty funny,
yeah,
Andrew.
That's what I was trying to say, zoot suit. That's what I was trying to say.
Pretty
and I remember
hysterical.
He was telling us when he came out on the stage, because the band members didn't know what he was going to wear. And so when he walked out on the stage, they were, you know, kind of surprised and all of that. It was funny.
It's always a secret. We have actually friends and fans call and email. They want to know what he's going to wear. And honestly, mm-hmm. he never does know. It's down to two or three outfits that he packs. But it's totally, at that point, it's spontaneous.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, Carol. I just wanted to throw that in there, so back to you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the support that you guys have given Nick over the years. It's great. Mike, I got a question for you. You do a video blog called The Daily Grind, which I'm addicted to. And you touch on so many topics, social, entertainment, sometimes it's sports-oriented. You very, very often introduce new music. You know, give plugs for CDs that you like, that he's not getting paid for, folks. Nobody's handing him money. He finds CDs, he finds tunes, he finds artists that he likes and holds up the CD in front of the camera and says, here, this is good, buy this, you know, listen to this.
Yes.
So how did you get into that, and how frequently do you do the Daily Grind? Do you really do it daily?
Well, are you
lying to us?
Well, it started daily, and how it started was there's a comedian by the name of Roy L. Watkins. He started doing vlogs on Facebook and everything, and he was telling everybody, well, if you have a camera, you have a voice. You know, you can use your camera, upload your videos, and if you have something to say, you know, use that to voice your opinion on things that you want to voice your opinion about and come out and say it. And I've supported him in his vlog, and from his vlog, him and Anthony Anderson from Law & Order, they started the Mixtape Comedy Tour. And ever since that, I've been vlogging, and it was a little group of us. It was myself, Riel, Anthony Anderson. At one time, Joe Torre was doing them too, and a lot of other people like Cato Hammond and people like that. We were all doing vlogs, and it just caught on. And I put out a thing saying, what should I call this vlog? So everybody, I said, well, I gave the choices, you know. So it came out to be The Daily Grind with Mike Reynolds. And it's really about just what I'm doing at the time. At first, it was anything. I taped myself and my son at DMV. Taped one with me and my daughter, you know, just acting crazy. And it has evolved into just talking about any and everything. You know, what's funny, sports, anything like that, and I really enjoy doing it. I mean, I I'm actually keeping it low key, you know, because I do have the mind of a comedian, so it can get kind of raw if I really get at it. But I don't. I try to keep it low key and keep it clean and wholesome, but and everything. And as far as being daily, I've been off the horse for a while, but I'm about to get back on it and start doing it daily and everything, and come with some different things. Like I said, so many things have been happening out in the world that, you know, I really want to talk about, and I'm like, I say things that the people wish that they could say, you know, so that's how I look at it. You know, I mean, I try to say it in a more clean way, but like I said, I can get kind of raunchy with like the regular comedians do, but I kind of keep it, you know, clean for the cameras and everything like that. So I'm going to start doing it daily again.
Well, I'm gonna recommend it to everybody, because if there's one thing I really enjoy, it's what Mike has to say. He's irreverent. He's honest,
mm-hmm.
But he is irreverent. There's no homage being paid to anybody on it. He says what he thinks, and that can sometimes be pretty hysterical, because he cuts it right down to where it's at, you know.
Yes,
it can be pretty funny. I love some of his comments. So that's Mike Reynolds, The Daily Grind, and I find it on Facebook. I don't know if it's available anywhere else, Mike.
On YouTube as well. So
on YouTube as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's under Mike Reynolds' vlog on YouTube.
Okay, Cheryl has a question for you. She wants to know, what's with the constant tweets?
Oh, no. Well, actually, I'm a cure. Actually,
here we go with the physical threats again.
yes. Yeah, because actually, you know, I'm on Facebook. We're on YouTube, and Twitter is this new thing. You know, I'm just really getting into it, and everybody's in it. They're you know, posting a little 140 words, you know, and everything like that. So I'm kind of getting into it now, and I guess Cheryl must follow my tweets on it. So I've been really into it lately. You know, I've been just constantly posting tweets about everything. Like a lot of the comedians are on there, and they post little tweets like, simple minded stuff like you are from the hood if, you know, something like that, or you know, you're from the hood if all your kids take a shower at the same time, you know, stuff like that. So I go back and forth with a lot of the comedians, a lot of the people on Twitter about different things like that, you know, different silly things. And Cheryl's been catching them, and I guess they've been coming through her phone at a rapid pace, so she's probably wondering why they come through her phone.
Cheryl and Mike are like oil and water. They do not mix.
Cheryl's my girl, yeah. So that's where I, so I've been introduced to Twitter now, and I've been tweeting for, I've been tweeting, like I said, constantly now. So this is pretty cool.
So would you say it's an addiction, Mike, or?
All of it is. I mean, all of it is. You know, you just, because, I mean, like now with Facebook and Twitter, you know, that's the new way of talking to people. You know, like I said, you can instantly contact people through both mediums. Like I said, of course, Facebook has the chat. They have the Facebook email. And Twitter, you can just put at the person's name. You know, to go straight to their phone or have them receiving a message, and they'll just respond right back, you know. So that's the new way to communicate now.
Well, and Cheryl says she loves you, you know, despite the oil and water. She
doesn't love me. No, she doesn't love me.
Okay, I'm sure she's going to respond to that.
Let me just quickly mention that there is a call on the switchboard, area code 219. I know you're just probably listening, but if you have a question, just hit the number 1 button, and I'll know that you have a question, and I will bring you on. Oh, they hung up. Okay, and I want to piggyback on that. With the tweeting and all of that, I recently, about a week or so ago, I got an iPhone. And the day that I got it was a weekday. So when I went back to work, it was like nothing was getting done at work because I was learning how to use the iPhone. I'm all on the internet now. I can tweet. I can get on Facebook. Everything on iPhone now. So it's wonderful. So
I understand.
Yes, I do. I love it. I love my iPhone.
I switched from a BlackBerry, and I couldn't be happier. Sorry, BlackBerry.
Yes. Yeah, I understand how Mike feels because, I mean, it goes with me everywhere. I'm always in it, so I understand.
No, those apps make life so nice and easy.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
definitely. Definitely.
Okay, well, my next question for you has nothing to do with the show. It has to do with your passions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big motivator in people's lives. What gets you going? What do you love? And we're going to start with you, Terry. What are your passions? And I can tell you, you know, I'll start off. We have a page on Nick's Facebook page, and it's called Passions. And Nick's passions are three that we honed it down to: music, of course,
mm-hmm.
His friends and his family, and fishing.
Mm, okay.
What are your passions? What drives you? What gets you going? What makes life interesting to you?
I love to travel, and it seems like every year I've been doing more and more of that, so that's definitely a passion. I love to travel. Of course, the smooth jazz music. I also like to do graphic arts. I love putting together different fonts with different graphics and trying to match them up and see how they look. I've always liked doing that. I've never really taken a class on it, though. I just usually would buy, like, the clip art software program and
mm-hmm.
work with it that way. But that is something that I have always loved to do, is graphic arts, work with graphic arts. I like photography. Don't do it as much as I, you know, should or would like to. But I have to say that you and Lily are very inspiring with your pictures.
Oh, thank you. Thank
yeah,
you. We're both amateurs, but both very passionate about it.
Yes, yes. So I think I will have to start getting into that.
And I wish I had Lily's equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen her new camera and her lens? Folks, for those of you who don't know Lisa Taylor, she's a longtime fan of the music, and she's also president of Brian Culbertson's fan club. She comes to lots of events, and she's a very accomplished amateur photographer. She could be a pro if she wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good. And she has a new camera with a lens on it that's bigger than she is. And Joy, you know, she's only a little bit taller than you are. So she's a little bitty thing with this enormous camera. And I think it weighs more than she does, too. But she's really, really good.
She's very good at it. So those are my passions. I have another passion that I've been working on trying to accomplish since 2005, and that is to move to Seattle.
Seattle. Now, that's interesting. How come?
Because I am a cool weather person. I live in Las Vegas. I don't like the summers here. It's just too hot for me here. Seattle is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And not sure how I would deal with the weather, though, but that is a dream and a passion of mine to move to Seattle.
And you're ready to deal with the rain?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is it's much cooler there than it is here. And
it definitely is. And they have lots of Starbucks there if you're a Starbucks fan. So.
Yes, and it's on the water, and the seafood is, oh, my God, the seafood was so good. And, it's just a beautiful, beautiful area. So that's the reason. So hopefully
go ahead.
I was just going to say hopefully one day I will be broadcasting from Seattle.
Well, it's a very vibrant music scene there, so that's a cool thing.
Yes.
That's very cool.
So those are my passions.
Joy's response when I said that Lisa was only a little bit taller than her, she goes, "Hey."
Oh, wow.
So,
and
okay.
Say,
Mike, what are your passions?
I would say my first passion is music, because I have a CD collection of jazz musicians that are just out of this world. I mean, from unknown artists to major artists. There's a place called CD Depot in Maryland in College Park, and I can spend like almost 2 hours in there just, listening to the CDs and trying to, find different CDs of artists that, I may have never heard of or things like that, because they let you listen to a couple of CDs and everything. So I would say music is one, because I'm really so into, jazz, and I can go to the festivals and just, stay there all day. And that leads into my second passion, which I think is people. I really love to, meet people, talk to people, joke with people, just the interaction and everything with people. I think of me and Terry, a lot of you guys don't know, me and Terry have only personally met twice since we've been doing the show. And like I said, when we meet each other, when we see each other, you can, we're like, we've known each other for years, and everything. So I would say that, I'm easy to talk to. I love people. And my third passion, I would say, is sports. I said that coming up, as a kid in the city, we played a lot of sports, baseball, football, things like that. And so I'm really into that. And my son is, an average sports player. And he's in the 12th grade now, and I think out of all the time he's been playing basketball, I've only probably missed like maybe one game. And I'm there, I'm that turner on the sideline, they about to put out the gym because he's too loud. that's me, just hooping and hollering and, telling him to shoot the ball and things like that. But I would say music, people, and sports. Like that, I can get in my car, I have my CDs with me, my riding music, and if I'm going somewhere, I would ride, have my Rashawn Patterson on, or I would have my, Boney James or something like that, and just ride where I got to ride to. And when I get to a festival or to a jazz venue, the people are so friendly, when you get there. You can talk to them and they feel like, you've been knowing these people for a long time and everything. So that's another kind of thing. Just music, people, and sports.
Thanks for the answers. I think they were both, it's really, for me, I love knowing what makes people tick, and I think everyone kind of likes a little insight into the less obvious about you, and I think that's both of you gave very interesting answers. And your last one, Mike, leads into a question that I had planned on asking both of you. I know that you're both avid live music fans, and again, moving back and putting my manager hat on for a moment, all of you who support live music are vital to the music industry, vital. Being willing to plunk down your hard-earned and these days scarce cash to come and see artists and support them is so key in keeping the genre vital, keeping it fluid, keeping it moving forward. You know, jazz has evolved over the years and will continue to evolve, and it takes live people listening and interacting. You have no idea the influence that your interaction and your attendance and your passion for the music has on the artists. I mean, you really spark them, and you're key in the process. You know, you just don't buy tickets. You know, that's nobody looks at the audience that way. So with that in mind, what festivals, and we'll start with you this time, Mike. What festivals have you not attended, or what venues have you not attended that you would really like to? And let's keep it domestic and within the U.S.
I would really like to attend, I would say two of the biggest ones, maybe the Catalina over in California and Seabreeze. Because up in this area, you know, when you go to the Capitol Jazz Fest, I've been going for years, sometimes it rains and it pours, and the back is mud in the back. But down there in Florida, I mean, it rains too down there, but it's like sunshine and, you know, just nice breezy. You see everybody out on the lawn having a great time. And Catalina, you know, it's just California. You know, I've never been to California. I would love to go out to the West Coast and check out, you know, some jazz shows out there, because as a lot of, you know, true fans know, a lot of the artists that are on the West Coast, they rarely come to the East Coast to tour. So they mainly play on the West Coast side, and, you know, I would love to go out there and see some guys like Warren Hill, you know, guys like that and everything. And I know Tom Braxton is going to be at the Capitol Jazz Fest, but, you know, him, I think UNAM is going to be here. I think this is the first time they've ever even came this far east. So that should be fun. But Catalina and Seabreeze.
Good choices. Very good choices. They are actually two of my favorites as well. How about you, Queen?
Seabreeze as well, Newport Beach, which I will be attending for the first time next month, and Catalina Island. I'm 4 hours away from Catalina, and I've never been to a festival in October, so maybe this year I can make one, but those are definitely the three that I want to attend. And I had the pleasure of attending Berks for the first time this year, and I really enjoyed that.
Oh, was this
I
your
had
first
great time?
Time
there.
Oh,
yes.
Berks is
yes.
Iconic. Everyone... You know, there's a list. My personal list of festivals that you have to go to at least once, and Berks is definitely on that list. It's unique. There is not another festival like it in the country.
Mm-hmm.
For
mm-hmm.
those of you who are not familiar with Berks, it's 2 weeks. It's multiple venues. It's at hotels and at clubs and at major. It's at the Scottish Rite Cathedral, and it's at the at the big music venue. I forget the name of it now. It's everywhere. And it overlaps. There's so many artists, and not all jazz. There's blues. There's old school. There's straight ahead. It's not all smooth jazz, I should say. There's, in fact, that's just a component of it. Berks is a huge event, and it goes 2 weekends. Extended into the week, and it's very, very unique. Each thing is individually ticketed, so it's not like you buy one ticket for the day and you see everybody. It's individual tickets. You get to pick and choose your shows. Very, very interesting. Seabreeze, on the other hand, is a one-ticket price. Come in the morning, go home at night, but the lineup is amazing. And the location, you can't beat. It's right on the Gulf Coast, and literally you can see the ocean from the venue. And they had over – I will tell you that their legal limit is 5,500 people, but I am sure there were 7,000 to 7,500 people there every day.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It was – you know, it's huge. It's a huge festival where Berks is limited by the capacity of the room or the venue. Seabreeze is enormous and yet very friendly and very intimate feeling. It's a wonderful place. And Catalina, for anybody who hasn't been to Catalina, it's another must-go at least once in your life venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Catalina Island is spectacular. You have to take a ferry to get there or a helicopter if you can afford it.
Yeah.
Most of us take the ferry. And you can stay on island or you can, you know, come back and stay over on the mainland. It's a lot kind of expensive to stay on island, but you can rent condos with friends and cut the cost way down. Again, Art Good always has an interesting mix of lineup, and one of Art's specialties is that he does introduce new artists. He last year, for the first time, there was Drew Davidson. There was Philip Doc Martin for the first time last year. He was
and
the first
Cindy
one.
Bradley.
Yeah, he was the first one to, Cindy Bradley. In fact, Cindy Bradley was his new artist of the year based on the response that she got at Catalina the year before. So, you know, it's definitely a place that, and it's a destination in and of itself. Well, we are going to move into a new tune, but before we do, Cheryl would like to know about your new celebrity. Apparently, you are quite well known in your area.
She's everywhere.
And you are a celebrity of sorts, and she wants to know how you're handling it.
No, but I keep telling Cheryl, nobody knows me. I mean, I go to a lot of the events in the area, you know, a lot of the major events, local events, things like that. The only person that really gets on me is David Dyson. Because every time he sees me, he's like, man, you here again? Like, you everywhere. So, you know, so that's the only person that gets on me is David. But no, I keep telling Cheryl, nobody knows me. Nobody knows me. Everybody knows her. You know, so I'm just like supporting live music and supporting the artists and just trying to do my best to, you know, support the guys. That's it. That's what I'm doing.
Well, that's cool. I don't think Cheryl believes a word of that, but
no, not at all.
Well,
not
Queen,
a word.
I'm going to turn it over to you for our next tune selection.
Okay, and before I play that, I want to give a shout out to an artist that's in the chat room. His name is Antoine Smith. I think Antoine is probably 18 now, a phenomenal keyboardist, and he also has a show on Blog Talk Radio that he and his mother host. And they play his CDs in their entirety. So, Antoine, if you would please post your show information in the chat room so everybody would know when to tune in to listen to your music, because he is just a phenomenal artist.
Yeah, very good, very good. He's similar to Paul Hardcastle. I mean, I love his music, you know, so Antoine is the same way. His vibe is on that Paul Hardcastle vibe. Very good.
Yeah.
I love having these young artists, these new young artists, out there doing their thing. You know, at Seabreeze, BK Jackson was there, same age as Antoine, and I'm telling you, that kid at 18, I mean, we first met him when he was 16. I think he won the Cap Jazz Talent Contest at 16.
Right.
And that he was the youngest winner ever. We have known him for the last 2 years, and what an amazing young artist he is. And humble, grounded, really, you know, really, really great kid, and what a talent. And you look at somebody who's 18, and, you know, he makes Eric Darius look old, and what is Eric, like 27, 25?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
We joke with Eric now. We tell him, Eric, you're not the baby anymore, you know.
Right.
You're getting old, Eric,
up.
You know.
Yes, indeed, they are coming up.
And that's how it has to be. The young talent has to keep coming, and, you know, kudos to you, Antoine, for learning how to promote your music and doing it, and to you guys for recognizing him. And Antoine just posted his radio, his Blog Talk Radio information in the chat room. So for those of you who are interested, check out his show.
Yes, so many young talents out there. Like, so you have, let's say, BK, you have Antoine, you have Elizabeth Smith, we have Marcus Anderson.
Right, Marcus is another one.
Yes, I mean, we have
Shannon
so many
Kennedy.
Good. Yeah. Yes, Shannon Kennedy over in the West Coast. We have
right,
so many
Shannon,
good,
great little sax player.
Yes, we have a lot of them that are very, very good. And a new guy on the scene that also performed at Seabreeze was a guy by the name of Julian Vaughn. I said, Julian is a very good artist. His CD, The Purpose Project, I keep mentioning it because I love that CD. I mean, he sounds just like Waymon Tisdale. I mean, oh, my goodness, he's just awesome.
Yes, he is.
He did a good job
on
at Seabreeze, too.
Yeah. Oh, I bet he did. Right. I bet he did. Okay, let's do another song now. One of my all-time favorite songs is Rainy Night in Georgia by Brooke Benton. I absolutely love that song. Nick does a cover of it, and he does an excellent job on it. This is also from the No Limit CD, Rainy Night in Georgia.
It's raining all over the world. It's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining. It's raining.
he does such a great cover of that. I love that song, Rainy Night in Georgia. Love that.
I have a story about that tune that I'll tell y'all, which is
okay.
Nick's been doing that in his show for a really long time. Every time he tries to take it out, people yell from the audience, Rainy Night in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it comes out, it comes back in. But he's been told more than once that people have conceived their children to that tune. And Nick always tells them, it's okay as long as I don't have to pay child support.
And can I just say, too, that the picture of Nick with the two policemen and he's got his hands on the
on
wall
the
and they're getting ready to search.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that is so funny. That is so funny.
Well, we're fortunate at Seabreeze that he has he's given police escort when he goes out into the crowd and at the CD table. They take very good care of the artists. Not that smooth jazz lovers are rowdy, but it can get kind of crazy with people pressing in on him, and you know, they kind of do their cop thing and stand there, but they're the nicest guys, and you can tell they have a sense of humor because one of them, Mark, the guy on the left in the photo, he's like, he whipped out his cuffs just playing around with Nick. Next thing you know, Nick is doing, he's spreading his legs, he's up against the pole. You know, and Myron is trying. Myron was the cop on the right. He's trying really hard not to laugh his butt off, but it was hysterical. And I took a couple of pictures. I sent them to them, so they're probably going to be up in the Panama City Beach squad room now.
I wrote in the caption they wanted his shoes.
Yes, I know you did. And actually, you know, you weren't wrong because Myron did. Myron's like, "Hey, man, where'd you get those shoes?" You know.
Oh my God!
Well, I have a question that I wanted to ask Terry. Is
okay.
That cool? Okay.
Yeah.
My question is twofold. One, why did you name the show Talking Smooth Jazz? And two, how did you feel about doing the show? Because I said your first co-host, you personally knew him. Now, how did you do this? How did you feel about doing a show with somebody that you've never met or anything, you know, before? Because we had never met at all.
Yes. Okay, the first question, I wanted the name of the show to include the word smooth jazz. I didn't know, and then since it was going to be a talk show, I wasn't sure how to put the words together. I started off with smooth jazz talk or something smooth jazz. And it's funny because whenever I think of something or come up with an idea for the show, it's always when I'm in bed, when I'm laying down in bed. And it just hit me one morning in bed, Talking Smooth Jazz. It's a talk show. I'm talking about smooth jazz. That was the title. And it's catchy to me. It's catchy. People know what it's about. And, you know, they know it's a talk show. As far as the co-host, I knew that I wanted someone that knew about smooth jazz, that liked the genre, knew something about the genre, was familiar with it, at least knew something about the artist, you know, and that didn't necessarily have to have a passion for it like I do, but was familiar with it. And when I saw you play, I saw you on the vlog, and you were playing Spur of the Moment, and I remember them. I remembered that group, and I knew that I wanted to interview them. And so when you planned that, I thought, okay, this is someone that could be a potential co-host, you know. So when I talked to you and asked you about the interview, to get the interview for me, and you set me up with the interview, and the interview went great. You listened to the show. And when you came into the show and you listened, I thought, okay, you know, maybe he likes the music. Maybe he's familiar with the genre. He knows about the artist. So I thought, well, you know, I'll ask you. And all you could say was yes or no. And what got me was it took you a minute to respond. It took you a minute to say yes. So my question to you is why did it take you a day to decide?
Excuse me. It took me a day basically because I was nervous, you know, because even though what I did was I actually called up my buddy from Spur of the Moment. I asked him about it, so he's like, Mike, he's like, all the people you got, all the people you know, you might as well just go ahead and jump in and do it. And I was like, well, you know, my thing was, too, is that I didn't know how we would mesh together by us not knowing each other personally, you know, and everything. So I was like, well, I don't know, you know, if how we're going to pull this off if I've never met this lady or things like that and stuff. Like, you know, it was just little stuff like that. And then I thought about it. I said, well, I might as well go ahead and do it. Like I said, I love the music. I know the artists. We can get a bunch of artists. I know I can go out. And I know I have the personality to go out and just jump into it and just jump right at the table and just talk to the artists, you know. I'm like, who is this cat? You know, just sit there and handle cards. You know, look, we got the show. We want you to call in. And they're like, man, he's just stuffing cards in our face now. But, you know, and I like to go out and meet the artist and to really promote the show after I did the set. But it took a while because that was the main thing about just how we were meshed together and things like that. You know, so that was my thing, I guess, at first.
Okay.
So we have two questions from the chat room. The first one is from Mike. Mike, why don't you do more stuff outside the D.C., Maryland area? You have fans.
That ain't nobody but Angie, okay? Because Angie leaves me alone. No, but really, I do. I go out to, there used to be a place out called the Ben 1700 that I used to go and frequent out in Alexandria. And I was pretty close, but now I'm all the way up in Ellicott City, which is maybe like about an hour and a half drive down there. And so much faster down in Virginia, they're like so far, you know, I can just wait till the guys come up this end and then go and see them, you know, because most of the local guys still travel around the same clubs and venues around the area.
Mm. The there's another question in the chat room. Cheryl B. Wants to know, who is singing the opening song on Talking Smooth Jazz and how did I pick that song? It's Boney James, It's All Good. And let me tell you about this song. I was living in Atlanta, and I was driving. I was on my lunch hour. This song came on the radio, It's All Good. This is the first time I'd heard Boney James. And I sat in the car. I was going to shopping, and I pulled into the parking lot, and I sat in the car until the song went off so I could hear who it was, and I went and bought the CD the same day. And ever since then, I have been buying Boney James music. He is my favorite saxophonist. I absolutely love him. The guy that does the talking, the voiceover, his name is Tim Garrison. He used to be a DJ here at the Smooth Jazz station. He is now on, I believe it's Smooth Jazz Now?
It's the Smooth Jazz Network.
Okay, he's
Smooth
now
Jazz
doing
Network,
Smooth
produced
Jazz
by
Network.
Broadcast Architecture, right.
Yes, he's doing a show now for Smooth Jazz Network. He is the voice. He's doing the voice on the opening. And I loved his voice. I had the opportunity to meet him, and I asked him if he would do the voiceover for me, and he agreed to do it. I absolutely love his voice. So that's how that came about.
Okay, I don't know if we have any. I'm trying to keep up with the chat room questions, and I don't think we have any more.
No, I don't see any either.
Nope. So it's back to me. One of the things that I find really interesting is how comfortable you are talking. And a lot of people have a fear. I think one of your chat room guests alluded to a little nervous about talking on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep yourself so, both of you, and this is a question for both of you, how do you keep yourself so comfortable doing this? And by the way, Terry, you also got a compliment that you have an excellent radio voice.
Okay. See, now this, oh my gosh. First, I don't like my voice. I never have liked my voice. I don't even like listen to my voice on an answering machine. But thank you for that compliment. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. As far as being nervous, I'm always nervous. And it may not come across that I am, but I am always nervous because I just never know. Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I stutter. Sometimes, you know how you can have a question in your head, but you can't get the question out right. It just, for some reason, it won't come out right. So I'm always nervous. I'm never calm I'm always nervous about the show. I'm always nervous about interviewing an artist. Because number one, we want the show to go well. We want the artist to be comfortable. I try to ask questions that I think the listeners want to hear, ask questions that I want to know about. So I'm always nervous about something.
How do you keep that from showing, though? Because it does not show. You sound extremely confident and well prepared, which I know that part is true. Mm-hmm. But you sound extremely confident. How do you overcome your nerves? It's the radio equivalent of stage fright for an artist. What do you do to make sure that it doesn't interfere with your program?
Gosh, I don't really do anything. I just, you know, go with the flow and try to keep with the sheet, my little show outline that I put together. And Andrew, this is for you as well. If you're going to have artists on or guests on, you want to have a list of questions in front of you so that you know what the next question is going to be. So I try to, that's why I put together a show outline, so I know where we are in the show, what questions we're going to next, when we're going to play music, and that kind of helps keep me on track. So maybe that kind of helps with the nervousness, make me sound like I'm not nervous, when in all actuality I am sometimes. But keeping a show outline and being organized helps.
And Mike, what about you?
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
I drink Kool-Aid during the show, okay? I have a glass of Kool-Aid with me right now. Okay? I like to drink some Kool-Aid while I'm asking my questions.
Oh, my God. Mike drinks the Kool-Aid. Oh, boy.
Kool-Aid and chewing gum, okay? But no. No, actually, I'm nervous as well sometimes, you know, like I said, but to really control it, you know, I guess I'm like Terry. Once it gets going, just going, because you start to find out a lot of things about the artist, and a lot of times, you know, they'll go deep into an answer, and like I said, it'll create another question, and it just starts coming out. And I guess now we've been doing it so long. I mean, it's like, you know, like Terry says, like I know when to call it too, but Terry, I tell you, I'll call in like 1 minute before the show starts.
No, 30 seconds, not 1 minute, Mike. 30 seconds.
30 seconds before the show starts, but I would, you know, have my questions ready. And once we get into it, I'll just, you know, get into it. The only thing that I don't do that Terry keeps insisting on me doing is do the intros and everything. Now, I guess...
You know, oh, my gosh.
No, because Terry has the radio voice, you know. So, Terry, I let Terry get the intros and all that, because she has that nice radio voice that, you know, goes into the intro very, very, very well. You know, me, I'm just like, you know, I'm like, you know, just the guy on the side, you know. I'm the... You know, that's my role, is to be the co-host and everything. So I got my Kool-Aid, and I'm cool.
Carol wants to know if it's red Kool-Aid.
Actually, it's red and orange. Wait. Yes.
Why is it always red Kool-Aid, too?
That's right. That's what people
call. Oh, my God.
Well, I'd like to let everybody know we only have, believe it or not, we've only got 10 minutes left. On our block of time, of our 2 hours, we've really whizzed through all of this. So
yes,
if anybody has any questions, please feel free to put them into the chat room. And, Queen, there is a question on how can I call in.
646-716-5485. That is the call-in number.
Okay, one more time.
Yeah. 646-716-5485. And let me just piggyback on what Mike said about doing the intros. I have asked him a couple of times if he wanted to open the show, because I'm, you know, I want to give him equal time. He's a co-host, and there might be times when I might, you know, I have to call in late or something like that, and he'll need to open the show. So I asked him if he wants to open the show sometimes, but he always tells me no. So maybe one day he'll open the show.
Ladies first.
Yes.
Okay. Such a gentleman, Mike. You're such a gentleman.
Yes, he is. Okay. Let's take these. I have two phone calls, so let me take the phone calls. Area code 631. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello, Terry. Hello, Mike. Hello, Carol.
Hi. Who is this?
Spicy.
Oh, Spicy. Hi, Spicy. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
You know what? You flow Kool-Aid, because you know it's not, you sound so smooth on the radio, but it's a patience.
Mm-hmm.
With others, such as myself.
You know, Spicy, you bring up a good point there. And I noticed you mentioned it in the chat room, too. Patients, they both listen extremely well, don't they?
Yes, they do. And it's fun because I have an impediment. And sometimes I'm a poetess. So sometimes I'll quote the show and say, can I do a piece? And Terry was like, oh, yeah, so I love your piece. And as much as you feel nervous, you're calm about it.
No, thank you.
Yeah, Terry's always calm.
That's a lovely compliment.
Thank you, Spicy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for calling
in,
too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and Terry, you said you had another call?
Yes, I think it's Cheryl.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Mike's ducking for cover now.
Okay, Mike, since you want to go there, I do have one question for you. Are you going to diss Angie and I this weekend? Are you actually going to show up for the Carolina West Wine and Jazz Festival?
You put me on the spot. I'm going to the Carolina Wine and Jazz Festival. Yes, I am. I'm going down there. I'll be down there. So, yes, we'll be hanging out this Saturday.
You're going to bless us with your presence and actually hang out with us? The last time we invited Mike to do that, he totally dissed us.
No, I think that's untrue. No, Carl, the thing that happened was it was a fight that night. It was the Manny Pacquiao fight. And they invited me to come within the synergy down at Blue Valley. So I told them, the fight one is a major fight on the night, So I missed that Najee that weekend at Blue Valley.
That's a guy thing. They have you cannot put a sports event and a music event together and expect any success with guys.
Not for Mike.
If it was Anita Baker, he would have showed up.
Anita's a different story.
See?
Anita is a different story.
No, I feel sorry for Marc Antoine is a wonderful flamenco influenced acoustic guitarist. He's a very, very, very gifted man. And he has a gig coming up at the Pizza Express in London right during World Cup playoffs. I'm like, Mark, you're gonna have four people at the show. I felt so bad when I read about the timing, and it reminds me of when we were still doing clubs. And hotel, lounges and things like that. And it was in the height of the Bulls mania here in Chicago. And I just, it's like, if the TV's going to be on, Nick's not going to perform. He basically did his show during halftime. Because you cannot compete with a major sports team when there's anything major going on. Just can't do it.
The World Cup is serious. Those people are serious.
Oh,
about
my God.
The
they're
Cup.
Rabid. Soccer
oh
is like.
Oh, my gosh.
They call it they football there, and they are rabid about it.
Yes, they are. Well, we have 5 minutes left, and I want to ask a question to Carol. For Carol, I want to know when is Nick working on new music?
Yes, he is. We're in pre-production right now on his new project, lining up tunes, lining up producers. Pretty much have the concept down. We have a great label. They give us all the time in the world. Their philosophy on this last project that we did called No Limits and the current one, which doesn't have a name yet, is you make the music and we'll figure out what to do with it. You cannot ask for better from a label than that. And, here's your money, go make your music, and then give us the project, and when we're done, we'll see where it goes and where it fits. So there are going to be some pretty interesting changes. Much like No Limits was not a straight CD in the tradition of what people expect out of smooth jazz artists. I think most of the artists are moving away. Gerald's calling his new project pushing the envelope.
Push the envelope, yeah.
That's what, he and Nick talk all the time, and that's what they both, they say it to each other. We're pushing the envelope, we're moving outside, because there's no terrestrial radio to cater to anymore to speak of. So the artists, it actually frees the artists up as long as they have the wherewithal and the financial wherewithal to make a record. Many artists don't have record deals anymore, and they have to do it on their own, and it is not cheap. To produce a record and to produce it well, because it still has to be superior quality for internet radio to play it, or for anyone to really want to listen to it. And then you have the distribution issues, even though there is internet distribution and downloads and all of that, and there's PR. And yes, we have internet for that too. But everything, you know, it's a big financial burden for an artist to take on if they don't have a label. So we are blessed in that regard. But yes, I don't anticipate it will be out before the end of the year, though, because there's a lot of new stuff and a lot of new ideas, and so it's going to be, it's going to be very, very, very unique. I think we're very excited about it. But that's all I can really say, because we are in pre-production. Yes, there was a question on who is that flamenco kind of artist. That's Marc Antoine. He's Spanish. Mm-hmm. But he's
and I got a question. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I got a question from Cheryl. She wanted to know, what are my plans on expanding TSJ? Until I can devote my full time to it, which hopefully will happen soon, right now what I would love to do is move it from Saturdays and Sundays to Monday through Thursday, so free up the weekend to travel to concerts and festivals, and eventually do CD release parties, meet and greets for the artists, and eventually do some concerts. But until I can devote my full time to this, that's right now we're doing the shows. And Mike and I made the decision last year to do more traveling to these events this year so we can network more and meet the artists in person and meet, you know, some of the people that help us get the artists on the show, like the publicists and the booking agents and stuff like people like that. So that's what we're doing right now for the short term. But long term, that's what I would like to do. Do the CD release parties, meet and greets, and concerts, and be able to hopefully devote my full time to it. Okay,
well, we only have
a minute left.
Right, one minute warning, folks.
Okay, now I want to also jump into it and add that the website. We're going to, you know, definitely upgrade the website. You know, because like that's another thing we wanted to do. Me and Tara, we already have designs on T-shirts, so we're going to, you know, start selling merchandise, talking smooth jazz merchandise as far as T-shirts and mugs and things like that. And we're going to try to make the website, just like, I don't know, everybody's seen Lynn Briggs' website. Very nice website she has up right now. So we're going to try to make a website and start, you know, selling merchandise off of there and start allowing the artists, the unknown artists, to actually advertise their products and their CDs on our website in the future as well.
All right. Carol. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. Thank you.
Yeah.
It has been fun, hasn't it?
Yes, I have had a blast. Thank you so much.
And
Carol,
I will definitely see you at the Capital Jazz Fest. I know Nick and Earth is going to be playing together again.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay.
You will see us in June. June 6th, I believe, is Nick's day at Cap Jazz. And we're looking forward to that. We haven't been there in a couple of years, so it should be fun. I want to thank everybody in the chat room for participating.
Yes.
It's been a very lively session, and everyone who called in, thank you for your really excellent questions and your interest in what makes our Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds tick. And the final farewell will come from the Talking Smooth Jazz team.
You have been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking. And Carol Ray,
there
you go.
That's right.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you on Tuesday with Gerald and Selena Albright. Until then, have a smooth day.